coming back. Who's coming back and they've been here previously? Okay. And have we got any new people that haven't been to one yet? Okay, just a few. Welcome back to those that are coming back and welcome to the new people. We've been having an interesting time in our seminars over the last couple of days, just unpacking various things around relationships and being in the single phase of our life and what that looks like, some of the challenges. And this morning I'm going to be leading a session which is all about leading authentic, healthy single lives. So before I kick off with that, I'm just going to remind us of some of the things I've been covering on the morning sessions. Good review for those of you that have been here. A good little overview for those of you that haven't been here. So on the first morning, I gave my testimony of being single for 31 years. And we just talked about, and we got some feedback from from you guys as to what some of the challenges are of being single, whether you're divorced or a single parent or never been married. And that was really interesting, just sort of unpacking it really, and just seeing what some of the challenges are for this time in our life. And then we just kind of looked at kind of how God really can heal our broken hearts when we've been through past relationship traumas and things that have hurt us, and just about the grace that God gives us and how to find our identity in through God, not through our marital status. And we did a little bit on the, you remember the identity, and we did a little exercise on being a masterpiece and the fact that we are all masterpieces created by God. And just to be empowered in that. Do you remember that? Butlin's Wi-Fi access. I'm like, was that funny? No? It just keeps coming up all the time. It won't go away. That. Anyway, I'll carry on. So we just looked at really, we just explored some of the living, what it's like to live a fulfilled single life, and the fact that we've got all this unlocked treasure in us, and looking at our purpose and our life vision is a good way of actually just feeling completely fulfilled as single lives, in our single lives. And then yesterday we just really looked at how male and female relationships are a blessing and God's plan for our lives, whether we are in a dating relationship or married, how to have healthy relationships with the opposite sex and enjoy them in a safe way and open our hearts up to those relationships through a tool that we just covered, one tool, defining the relationship, you know, having those open chats with our male and female relationships. And I shared a testimony about how that worked in friendship with my now fiance, and we unpacked that a little bit. So it was all about being true to yourself and being authentic and actually knowing what was in your heart and what your values are around holding those relationships and protecting each other's hearts in the process of being in friendship. So that's what we talked about yesterday. If you weren't here, all of these sessions are recorded, or even if you were here and you want to get the recordings, you can get them from the Spring Harvest stand, which is outside the Skyline place. In the Skyline place. Excellent. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to really have a look at answering a little bit around this question. What does a fully resonant single life look like? Now, we use the word resonance a lot in coaching. And does anybody have an understanding of what it means? Because us coaches, we use it all the time. But does anyone know what it means, the word resonance? Anyone like to offer a definition? Why don't you give us a definition, Marion?
Oh. Okay. So resonance is... So I often use the expression... I think it's in physics, when two waves are actually kind of aligned and they're both together, it actually creates more energy. So God's spoken to me about when we're resonant, it's like we're most aligned with how God's created us, and that actually releases more energy. And often that means that we feel more alive and excited about things. So, as a resonant, when there's resonance, we feel alive. And, yeah, I've said that already.
Great. Thank you for that. She was just offering to run the mic. So it's something we do. For those of you that don't know, my name's Tina Southgate. I actually run a ministry called Destiny Coaching Ministries. And we actually help Christians to find out and be clear about what their calling is and their purpose, and then actually come into alignment and be activated into it. So resonance is a very important word, because it's all about coming into alignment with exactly who you were created to be. And it includes so many things. It's walking in your particular strengths, your giftings. It's actually understanding what messages you carry to the world. It's about actually getting that feeling when, you know, when you feel really alive, like we do in exercise and coaching, when we take you back to a time when you just felt fully alive, when life was good, you felt joy, you felt excited about what you were doing, and you had energy, and the flow was easy. And that's the moments of resonance in your life that really God wants us to live lives that are like that most of the time. We don't want to be living lives where we're sort of feeling... I mean, my own testimony is of living a life where I was kind of in a corporate career, very successful in the world's eyes, but very unfulfilled inside. So resonance is all about that feeling of feeling fulfilled, feeling alive, waking up in the morning and thinking, wow, there's no one else I'd want to be, nowhere else I'd want to be, and nothing else I'd want to be doing than what I'm doing now. Does that sound like a good way to live your life? Yes. So that's what we mean by stepping into and stepping towards that fully resonant life. And it's not just for singles, it's for everyone. And it's God, you know, John 10:10, God came to give us life and life abundant. It says the enemy came to steal, rob and destroy, but Jesus came, he died on the cross to give us life and life abundant. An abundant life looks like a resonant life. It looks like a life that you love living. And when you're living that life and when you're living in your calling, there's no one else you'd want to be, there's nowhere else you'd want to be, and there's nothing else you want to be doing. Now, for some people, that could look like working on a rubbish tip in a slum in India. You know, if that's their calling and that's their passion, they're going to be happy doing that. But it's different for each and every person. For another person, it might mean being a millionaire, you know, and living in a house in Knightsbridge. You know, whatever it is, every one of us has a different life that God actually meant for us, which will resonate with us. And it's not all about money, although it's not also not about money. So that's what we mean when we talk about resonance. And we talk about it a lot when we talk about life purpose and calling. And that's how, that's part of what we do as a ministry, is to help people to step more into that resonant life. So we're going to explore that this morning around the area of when we're single. What are some of the, we've only got a short amount of time and there's a lot that we could tell you, but we're just going to pick some key points to help you to go away and think about around this area. So what we've already done is we've looked at, roughly speaking, these five areas over the last couple of days. And like I said, we've already looked at having a kingdom identity. So not being defined by our circumstances, not being defined by a marital status, but having that. Do you remember we talked about being a masterpiece and being sons and daughters of God and having a royal identity? We looked at that a little bit, just briefly in session one, which actually empowers us in our authority of who we are. Because when we are truly seeing who we are, then we can actually feel confident and have authority to step in and do the things that God's called us to do, despite our marital status. And we also looked at the power of actually authentically being who we are, and communicating what's on our hearts and coming out of that place of actually perhaps even denying to ourselves what we feel in the context of relationships. But it goes much further than that. The whole idea of defining the relationship, the DTR, is actually being honest with ourselves, what's in our hearts. And this is something we do a lot of when through the helping people to find their purpose. So what we're going to do today is 3, 4, and 5. We're just going to briefly look at the process of healing. And every one of us has been through stuff that's not been easy. And every single person in this room has got their own story. And we're going to hear from someone this morning who's got a great testimony and story of coming out of past pain. But we just want to look at what that process is of actually healing up from the pain of the past, understanding things, and growing through, actually unpacking it and understanding it, and then moving forward from past pain. To really be on a journey as single people of building what we call emotional resilience, that should say, not resistance. But in a sense, it's kind of related. So emotional resilience, which is really building up our strength in our inner man, in our hearts, to be able to actually be strong and to deal with all of the things that life throws us in relationships and in all our situations, really. And as single people, it's really good to have that emotional resilience because, we haven't got that person standing beside us necessarily. Even when we do get married and we do have a person standing beside us, having emotional resilience is good. It's good for us to be able to step into that higher calling that God has for us to become like the game changers, you know, the whole theme of this festival. And we're just going to look really at how our story becomes God's redemption story. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, without a vision, people perish. We're going to look at that. And we're going to look at, and we're going to get you to do some practical, it's Proverbs 29:18, people without a vision, a people perish. And we're going to get you to just have a look at how you can start to get a vision around different areas moving forward. We'll just do a brief thing to just give you some coaching tools for that. And then we're just going to look at the final area, the loving others as you love yourself, and just about how to honour our own needs as well. Sounds like a lot, so we're just going to touch very briefly on each area. We're going to make it interactive, and we're going to let you take away whatever God brings up, really, for you in that. So let's start with the first area. Healing and understanding and moving, growing and moving past pain. And it's come up in several of the sessions about the whole area of divorce, for example. And I just wanted to speak briefly about this because I think it's relevant for those people who are divorced, but also those people who aren't, because we all have a view on it, don't we, as Christians? And I'm not going to get into a theological discussion about it, but I just want to remind us of some of the sort of more global truths around who God is and how, you know, what the Bible does indicate towards this. So, first of all, would we all agree that adultery is not a good thing? Right. Is anyone who thinks it's okay? Right. So what about murdering people? Would you say that's a pretty bad sin to do, like murdering people, right? Well, okay. So these are not good things. Okay. We all agree. I'm glad. So would it be fair to say that if you've been in either of those categories that you might be feeling like, oh my gosh, this is like the worst possible things I could perhaps have done? Maybe someone who's become a Christian and done that might be feeling a bit guilty, a bit shameful about it, possibly. You know, it's possible. And yet, I want to just remind us of King David from the Bible. Was he an adulterer? Was he a murderer? It's incredible, isn't it, to think about that. Now, I am not promoting divorce, adultery, or murder. Let me be very clear about that. But I am reminding us of God's forgiveness and his grace and his redemptive power. Okay. What happened to David? He did a terrible thing. He committed adultery with another man's wife. And he didn't leave it at that, did he? What did he go and do then? He actually removed the husband out of the picture, arranged for him to not live and be killed in war, put him on the front line of a war, basically. And then he married the woman. Now, God, there was a price to pay. The first child they had didn't live. But then what happened? The second child they had, what happened to that child? He became King Solomon, isn't that right? Well, Solomon's kingdom was blessed by God. He was the wisest man that ever lived, And the Bible says he's the wisest man that ever lived in the whole of the world. So, and ever would live. So, and apparently in Solomon's time, there was so much abundance in the kingdom that Solomon led that silver used to just be piled up in the street and thrown away because it was of no value, because they just had so much wealth. So God blessed that union with someone that David had actually committed adultery with. And not only did he bring forth a child who became a king of a nation and brought wisdom to the whole of the Christian faith through the Proverbs, he wrote Proverbs, but he also used that line, that family line, to actually be to bring the Messiah of the whole world. Okay, so I just wanted to illustrate that point because God's redemptive story includes forgiveness, and he redeems so much more than just divorce. He brings life and salvation through situations that are not good situations. So that's one thing to think about. The Bible says that he places our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he forgets them. Now, I'm not saying divorce is a sin. I'm saying it's not God's best. But if God says that he forgets our sins, he doesn't even see them anymore. Shouldn't we also forget and forgive and put things aside when they've not been God's best? So that's another thing to think about. And then we have, you know, God who forgave the woman who had been at the well. You know, she'd had lots of different men, and he said, go and sin no more. He didn't say, go and sin no more and make sure you don't get married, because that's not allowed. You know, he released her and he freed her and he forgave her for all that had gone and said, go and sin no more. Okay, so the gospel message, the very foundations of our faith, is all about grace and hope and forgiveness. And if God can forgive murder, do you think that he's capable of forgiving a failed marriage? Does it sound like, if God can forgive a failed marriage and actually provide a blank canvas to bless a new marriage after that, do you think that perhaps that's more in his nature than feeling that there is condemnation and that there's no redemption through a failed marriage? I just wanted to just put these, and I know there's verses in the Bible, especially the one that says, you know, you can divorce only around adultery, but we have to look at the historical context of why some of these things are actually put in the Bible and what was going on around that time. And this isn't a whole, I'm just touching on divorce this morning. So I think it's true, by the way, other people that were murderers in the Bible, Moses, the very guy that God chose to lead people in the whole of the Israeli nation, the Israelites, into the promised land, was a murderer. He murdered an Egyptian slave master. Thank you. So God didn't just forgive him. He gave him a calling and a destiny that was pretty important to our faith, don't you think? So I hope this is building hope to anybody that feels like that, you know, divorce is basically the end of their possibilities in the world, shall we say. The event of divorce, I believe, is totally forgivable and totally washed clean and buried as far as the east is from the west. I believe in a blank canvas God. So I believe that the idea that you can't get married again because of what happened is just not in keeping with the God that we see described in the Bible. But I happen to believe it gets better than this. I happen to believe that God loves marriage so much that when it doesn't work out and when there's problems with relationships, he seeks to not just restore the individuals, but to bring a redemptive story that's actually way beyond what we could imagine. So I don't think it's about surviving divorce. I think it's God wants us to thrive, whether it's whatever we've done, you know, whether it's murder, divorce, or the worst possible things you can think of. God wants you to become the person that he actually meant you to be from plan A. And he has ways of getting us there. And God's plans B, C, D, E, F, G's are so good. Sometimes they can feel even better than the original plan A because of his redemptive power. So God works through our stories and he brings redemption through whatever happens to us. Our pasts do not define our futures. Our pasts do not define our futures. But our pasts do allow God to weave a redemptive story through what's happened, because everything, all things, he turns to good, and he turns to his redemptive pattern. And you see it time and time again. People have gone through hard times and suffering and difficulties and have overcome it with God through his grace, end up having power and authority and ministering in those very areas. It's so, you know, whatever you've struggled in your life or are still struggling in, believe that God will turn it round way bigger and way better than you think. And it will actually end up being an area of strength, because in our weakness, his power is perfected. Someone will give me the reference for that, maybe. Okay, so what I wanted to do is, it's all very well for me to talk about this, but I've never been divorced. So I want to just invite Sandy up, and I want to just talk to her. Do you want to use this one? Yeah. Maybe better for you. So Sandy, can you tell us what... You've been divorced, right?
Yes.
How long have you been divorced? Do you want to just come over here a bit?
So I've been separated for 11 years and divorced for about, since 2011.
Okay. And would you say that you're in a good place now,
yes,
generally speaking?
I am actually the happiest I've ever been and living the most fulfilled life I've ever lived.
Wow, well, that's a good testimony right there. So just tell us a little bit, just for the people here. Obviously, it's been a journey being divorced. It didn't happen just like that. So just, I think it's useful. What were some of the unhelpful things on that divorce recovery journey?
Well, any of you who have been through this will know how overwhelming it is at the beginning, and how painful. And what was actually really unhelpful was being a Christian. And the images projected at me and the teachings sometimes projected, and what people said to me as well, who were Christians, that wasn't very helpful. And some of the theology and some of the teaching.
Okay. Is there anything more you want to say on that, or just...
Well, basically I felt bombarded by a lot of the stuff that's out there, and what was the most helpful to me was exploring it for myself with the Lord and finding a peace in my heart with him, and my relationship with him was the most helpful, and how he views me as a daughter. He doesn't view me as a divorced person. He yeah. views me as Sandy, his beautiful daughter.
That's amazing. So I just like looking at some of the unhelpful things again.
Yeah.
Were there any things in particular that were particularly unhelpful for you within the church or the Christian community?
The divorce label.
Uh-huh.
The way people either skirt around it or put their own opinions on you, the way people don't necessarily listen.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And other than, so it was you and God together that kind of worked it out.
Yeah.
What was there anything else that was helpful for you in the process of just getting over it and becoming truly who you are now?
Yeah, I mean, I did a divorce and separation recovery course, and that was really helpful because I knew I wasn't alone and that God is into redeeming the situation. I had people around me in different situations, different circumstances, but... By doing that course, I learned about safe places, safe people, various ways that I could cope, and it just really helped. There was also coaching. I became more self-aware by becoming a coach and doing the coach training program, and more emotionally resilient. That was hugely helpful, because I think it's all so overwhelming to begin with, and you just... any emotional resilience you did have goes. So that was helpful to be self-aware and to know that God recognizes where I'm at and the things I can do practically with coaching tools as well that will help me.
That's great. So what's your life like now, post-divorce?
I'm the happiest I've ever been.
Yeah,
and God really does bring everything out for the good of those who love him. And it doesn't make divorce good. It doesn't make it right or something I'd recommend. But there is a redemptive story to that. And it's amazing how he will use your story to help others. And I'm free. I know I'm a daughter of God. And I know he's good. And those are things I've learnt through a lot of pain, a lot of hurt and turmoil. But there is life on the other side of this, and it's abundant.
That's great. So what would you say to someone who's maybe facing that beginning of that journey or is still struggling in the whole journey of being divorced? What would you like to say to them today?
I won't lie. It is hard. It is a journey, though. And I would just say, find those safe people, find those safe places, press into God, and know that he loves you, he wants the best for you, and there is hope. There is light, there is hope.
Wow, that's great. Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you. Stay there for a second. So part of God's redemptive story on Sandy's life is she's become a coach. She helps people in transition to find their purpose and their calling, and she coaches people who are recently divorced or separated. Isn't that amazing? And she brings the hope that she has seen to them. So just she's available. So if you are in that position, come chat to her afterwards and she can tell you more about what she does to help. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you. So God's redemptive story. Now, this isn't just relating to divorce, is it? Because there's all kinds of other struggles we've had in our life. But relationship struggles is what we're talking about here. But any struggles that you've had, that you've really had to work through, isn't it exciting to expect and believe God's redemptive story and how he's going to turn that around? For me, as I shared in the first session, I've been single until recently for 31 years and wanting to be married, and I've gone through all kinds of different relationships. But then I ended up about 6 or 7 years ago coaching girls and guys around relationships and dating and finding a partner. And here I am talking about, you know, the very same thing at Spring Harvest. So God has used my story and how he's had to build resilience in me through the journey that I've been on that's been difficult to actually now help others and encourage them. And in an incredible journey that God's taken me to find my confidence and my identity in him rather than, you know, the normal journey that we all kind of expect to go on. So, I mean, I just get the amazing privilege as well of just releasing and empowering people to understand their purpose and helping, you know, the blessing on the ministry that I'm running and all the things that I've been doing. Hundreds of people have been blessed and been activated and reawakened and filled with hope to go and do bigger things with God and to live, you know, in a kingdom identity and in a kingdom lifestyle. Now, would it be good if I wasn't on the earth? Would it be better, bearing in mind how God's used it? Over 1,000 people in the last 2 years have been impacted through Destiny Coaching Ministry in some way, shape or form. Would it be better if I hadn't been born? No. My mum and my dad were both divorced, and it was a second marriage for both of them when they had me. So I am the product of two remarriages. So that is God's redemptive story. I wouldn't have been around. Nothing I'm doing, no one that I've blessed, nothing that's happened would have happened. None of that life would have been brought to the earth. So God brings life from our mistakes, from tragedy, from all of the things that we do wrong and all of the rest of it. So I just wanted to speak that out because I think there's a lot that's debated around this area, and sometimes it just turns into ridiculousness because our God is a redemptive God. And whether you're single or whether you're divorced, this is relevant because if you're single and you've never been married, so what if you marry someone that's divorced? You know, they're clean, they're forgiven, they're washed new. Gerard is divorced, the guy I'm marrying. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. I see him as who he is today. So I just want to release that to you. So moving on, what I'd like us to do is to actually look at just get into pairs, because I think God's redemptive story is all part of us moving on from things that have been holding us back. So I want you to just take a few moments as a group to, bear with me, to just have a little think. What are the areas of struggle in your life that God has already used for his redemptive glory? Because I'm sure you can always think of some. And what areas of struggle are you in the midst of right now that you now know and you can believe that he's going to turn round and that you're going to have that testimony for? So just pair up with someone for a few moments and just tell them about one of the stories in your life that God's already turned around for his redemptive glory. And an issue, if you want to share it, you don't feel like you have to, but an issue that you now can believe that he's going to turn around for you. So just give you a few minutes. We're just going to hear some of your areas that God has actually redeemed. We haven't got time for the whole story, but here's some examples. You know, relationship struggles, divorce, betrayal, abuse, addiction, loneliness, trust. Just give us a couple of words as to some of the areas in your life that God has really redeemed, and we'll just flip chart them so we can all just see God at work in real life. Our lives now. So who would like to just share some of the areas that God's redeemed? Great.
Painful hurt.
Painful hurt. And he has redeemed and restored and taken it away. That's amazing. Yes?
Can I just share something quite short?
Yeah, short.
I was engaged to somebody. My walk's been a bit like yours. And we were going into full-time missionary work together, and he didn't come, but I still went down to World Horizons in South Wales. And anyway, the Lord did a lot of healing in me, because it was like obviously a very painful time. And just before, the Lord asked me to go out to China to start going out overseas to do missions trips. And just before I went, I got an email from my ex saying, "I think you should be with me. You're the best person for my life." And it was quite a distraction. And the Lord just quietly said to me, "Do you want silver or do you want gold?" Mm. And it really touched my heart. And I wrote back, and I kind of closed that chapter off. And for 10 years, the Lord took me into taking expeditions out overseas, wow, doing full-time Christian mission work in so many different places.
As a single person.
As a single person.
Yeah.
And every journey I went on, he healed me each time more and more and more and more.
That's amazing.
And like my brother just said, that was a game changer, because I could have gone back and been trapped.
Yeah.
But he set me free.
So you lived your purpose in fullness.
Yes.
And are you still
single? I'm there now, and I absolutely love the Lord.
Mm.
And I think what I found is that I was looking for love and needs in men everywhere. Like, you know, you kind of think you've got to have it in a man. And the Lord wanted to show me that he loved me, and my love and my need is in him. And I think when we find that in him and he makes us whole, it's then when we're probably, you know, ready to be or meet someone. But I'm completely satisfied with him.
That's
and
great.
If he chooses to bring someone into my life now, to me, that's an extra blessing.
Absolutely.
But I don't need that. Yep. I need him. Yep. So
great
thank
story.
You.
Thank you. That's amazing. Well done. Yeah. The way I like to say it is, getting married is the icing on the cake. It's not the cake itself. Yeah. Anybody else got a redemptive? We'll just keep it short. We'll just do a couple of other ones. What area has God redeemed for you?
Right, I'm a little way behind that, but I am totally amazed, because I was chasing what I thought that I needed rather than looking completely to God. God was touching other areas of my life, and then I'd had a relationship with someone, although I wasn't actually living with him. We weren't living together. And last summer, there was a day when we'd had quite an argument about an area in our relationship, which was obviously important. And he said, "I'm going to water my garden." And that was it. Gone. And I thought at that time, because I'm really bad at ending things, I'm always looking, can I put this right? Can I help you to come round to my way of thinking? I had, you know, on the journey, I've been divorced, for 23 years.
Mm-hmm. So God helped you to end something. Yeah.
But he actually removed at that point. That's because amazing. I didn't have to make that decision, I know that I struggle with.
Yeah, decisions. That's good. That's really good. Thank you. Yeah, God has redeemed that for me as well. There's relationships that I've been in the last 7 years, and I've said, Lord, if they're not right, take them away. And he has literally, like, taken them away, and I've trusted him. It's not been easy, but, yeah, that's good. And Paul's got one. Can we make it a really quick one just so we can move on? Thanks, Paul. You're a preacher, you know. You're a preacher. All right.
I was in a relationship for about 3 years ago, but I lost my parents in 6 months in 2010.
Oh, yeah.
So and then someone came into my life, 2011, and we both loved each other, but at the end of the day, what happened? At the end, we were going out for about a year and a half. Probably we went straight into a relationship rather than have been friends. I think this time with my friend now is like friendship, and then it goes deeper than it goes to a relationship. But mm-hmm. we went straight to a relationship. But what I learned from that is that you have to be on the same destiny, go in the same direction.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I felt in my heart that she was very close to her parents, but my parents had passed away. But my heart was more to go and do stuff for the Lord, missional mm-hmm. work and evangelism.
Yeah.
While she was more into sort of nursing and sort of Bristol and where she lived with me, like, you know.
Yeah.
But I felt more called to, and I've ended up going back to my church, doing some more training, get more equipped. So although I've lost my relationship with Charlotte, if you like, I'm now single, but more focused to
more focus on your purpose and
my
your
purposes.
Destiny.
Yeah. And then.
And how do you feel now in terms of?
I feel that if I'd gone into marriage. Mm-hmm. I think I made a mistake.
Right. So you feel free.
I feel free.
Yep, and you feel aligned.
So it's better to maybe stay a little bit more single, mm-hmm. a little bit longer, and make sure.
Wait for the right one.
Because marriage is, I reckon, the second most important decision you make.
I agree.
I think
God,
making God is your number one mm-hmm. as your Lord and Savior. But making the right choice for your marriage partner, you've got to live with that person, and you're marrying up and you're for life.
Absolutely.
And there's a covenant as well, and God takes covenant very seriously.
I agree. Thank you, Paul. That's great. Excellent. Well, that's really good, because that takes us into our next section I wanted to talk about. So we've looked at the past, and God can redeem anything. There's nothing that any single person in this room has done that God cannot just forgive, but can redeem better than you can ever imagine and better than before. So as far as I'm concerned, it's ridiculous to think of any kind of relational dysfunction or any kind of things that have gone wrong or trauma or pain that you would need to carry into the future. Okay, so what about the future? This is what we want to look at now. How do we actually set ourselves up for success? The Bible says, "A people without vision perish." Proverbs 29:18. Having a vision gives us a focus, just like Paul shared. You know, it's given you, it's helped relinquishing that relationship, moving on has helped you to be more aligned in your purpose and your destiny. So, in God's way is always that our future is going to be better than our past. The Bible says that the latter house is always better than the former. It also says that, you know, he goes from glory to glory. So we know one thing for sure, there is hope for the future, and your future is going to be better than your past, because God has a plan and a purpose to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. So what part do we play in this? I believe that we actually get to decide and make some choices about our future. And I wanted to bring up the whole area of yoking. You know, the Bible says that we're to be equally yoked. And that verse is often quoted in the context of marriage. And we're often told not to date non-Christians in this whole context of this area. But I don't think it's as simple as that. I don't think, and I know, because I've been through, in the years of dating, probably, well over a dozen relationships. Half of them were with Christians, half of them were not with Christians. And you can be with a Christian and be unequally yoked, and like Paul's just shared. So it's not as simple as just finding a Christian. Also, and this might sound like heresy to you, but I've got friends who are strong Christians who have ended up dating non-Christians, and they've married and they've become Christians and they've married them. So, you know, it does happen where Christians do date non-Christians and it turns out well. And I think you've got to know where you are and where your strength is. And someone actually did a demonstration once standing on a chair, like you're a Christian standing on a chair. And if you're dating a non-Christian, it's like they're trying to pull you off the chair and you're trying to pull them up on the chair. What's going to be easiest, you know? So I think it is an area that only you know how strong you are. And if you're really clear about your purpose and where you're going, and someone is brought into your life and they're not pulling you away from it, and God is doing a work in their life, then who knows, that could be, God doesn't work in the box all the time. But it's good to have wise counsel around you. It's good to realize, you know, the situation you're in. And I'm not saying you should go off and marry a non-Christian, but I'm just saying God doesn't always work in the box. And like Andre was teaching yesterday, we fill our boxes with rules and there's no space for God to actually bring something in that's different around what he's doing. So yoking can mean a lot of things. It's not just, are they a Christian or not? It's like, do they share the same purpose and vision as you? Do they complement that? Are they intellectually compatible with you? You know, do you actually enjoy spending time with them? You know, are they of equal to you in, you know, are they a peer to you, peer to peer, you know, do you enjoy spending time with them? Are they someone you would be a friend to? I think the friends we have and the friends we really get on with actually offer us so many clues to compatibility and who will suit us as a partner. And if you start looking at that, you know, what sort of partner will actually go well with you? You know, someone, what's your temperament? You know, what's your strengths? What's your gifts? Who do you get on with? Who brings you energy when you spend time with them? Who doesn't? These are all important things to think about when you're dating people and when you're looking for someone. Sometimes we have an image of who we want to date that's completely out of anyone we would actually even be friends with. Friend of mine was imagined, sometimes we have ungodly imaginations about people that we might want to be with, you know, from a TV program. you know, I want to be with, I'm laughing because the person's in the room that this related to. So sometimes we might think, oh, that's who I want. But actually, when we look at it, would that be a person we'd hang out with every day and spend time with and enjoy being with? Or are we actually just desiring something that we haven't got to help us, you know, be someone who we're not? You know, let's be honest. Let's be honest with what we want as a companion. You know, we want to marry someone who could be our best friend and who gets us and who we can communicate with, who we can share with, who we can feel like we're like-minded with. So ungodly imagination can, and the Bible says we get what a man, as a man thinketh, so is he. So we get what we imagine. We get what we think about. So we might be thinking about completely the wrong thing that's right for us. So let's have a look at it. And I want you to think, what is your vision? What is your ideal? What do you want? You know, and this doesn't just go for future partners, but for your life. You know, 5 years' time, if you look into the future, what do you want to be different? What do you want to work towards? What's your goals? You know, what do you want to change? What do you want to develop into? What parts of your character do you want to see formed and changed? You know, what spiritually, where do you want to be? You know, how do you want the world to see you as a Christian in 5 years' time? Because intentionally thinking and having a vision around these areas will actually help you to move towards them and actually go further into them. So I thought we'd just do a really quick exercise just to get you to just try doing this in one small way. And what I've done is I've produced a table, which I don't know whether you can read it, but we've got one column, my ideal potential partner, and another column, my ideal life. And I want you to get into pairs again and just pick one of those questions on either side, you know, whichever you're comfortable talking to somebody else about, and take it in turns. You know, one person say, I'm going to pick the question, you know, what do I want my life to count for? I'm going to answer that question. And just talk to your partner just on one of those questions. And you'll notice on the side of ideal life, we've asked some questions there, which are some of the questions we kind of use to uncover people's purpose. You know, what in the world frustrates you that you'd like to change? You know what a soapbox issue is? It's those issues that when the conversation starts, you can't stop talking about it because it makes you really mad. You know, that is passion inside of you, and God has given you that desire to change the world in a certain way that only you can. So that's a clue to your destiny, and that can turn into a vision, just like we heard from the lady at the back. You know, she's spent the last 10 years serving the Lord in incredible ways as a missionary. What need do I see that people have that I would like to address and provide for? What injustices in the world make me cry, grieve, feel angry? What is my dream for the family I want to have? You know, what type of relationships do I want to have? You know, start to dream a little bit. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to just pick one of those questions from either side and just talk about it. Allow yourself to just think about it as we move into the future vision. So I'll just leave you to do that for a few minutes. Actually, we do coaching programs all about this. How did you get on? Was it good to explore? What were some of the questions you picked? Who picked the ideal partner, potential partner side? Who picked that side to work on? Yeah? You did both. You did both. Wow, you're quick. Ideal life, yeah. Yeah, these are things to really think about, you know. If you want to unpack these things in more detail, we do actually do programs where we take you through a whole bunch of exercises to figure out your purpose and your ideals and all of that kind of stuff. I'll tell you about what's coming up in a second. But the reason for me actually getting you to think about your vision is if you can see it, you're much easily more able to walk towards it. And the world has figured out this spiritual concept in the whole area of coaching. It's called the power of intentional thinking, which is very new age and it takes God out of the picture, but it's a spiritual law. A people without vision perish. So having a vision for these areas of your life is really important. It's a godly thing. He wants us to actually think through what we want, and he wants to fulfill our desires. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So God cares about your desires. So it's good to have some and to tell him about it. And having a vision about what you might want is really, really important. And this is why I wanted to bring it up about the whole area of yoking and dating non-Christians. Is that God's best for you? Is that the very, very best? It's not, is it? It's not the ideal. I'm not saying it doesn't work out and God uses situations, and sometimes I know people who've, you know, been dating a Christian and become a Christian, but in the, you know, your Christian walk is so intrinsically entwined with your values and who you are and how you lead your life. To have someone walking alongside you that doesn't share that is not necessarily going to be an easy journey. And why not have an easy journey? Why not, you know, go for the best that God has for you? So I just want to encourage you to envision, don't just envision Christian, not Christian, envision what type of Christian you want. Like Paul was saying, you know, he ended one relationship and he's looking for someone that aligns with what he knows God's called him to do. Look for that in what you're looking for in the future. Someone that's going to compliment you, someone that's going to support you, encourage you, lift you up, believe in you, help you to become a game changer, you know, and work in the kingdom. Because God, that's what God wants for you too. That's the ideal. And if you don't envision it and focus in that way, then it's harder for you to know it when it's staring you in the face and to find it. So that's what the purpose of this is, really. Now, there's different ways you can do this. And it's also a great way of keeping your hope alive as well. And these are the types of things that we recommend. Things like vision boards, dream boards. Have you heard of those? You can go through magazines and cut out pictures and stick them on a collage board. A friend of mine did that. She was 60 years old. She wanted to get married. And she started praying about it. And she spent some time just pulling out pictures from a magazine of things that highlighted. And she pulled out a picture of a guy with a little dog. She didn't know why she pulled it out. She thought, oh, I quite fancy a guy who's got a little dog. And she dreamed up this husband that she wanted, this ideal husband. And then she'd always thought going online was the worst idea ever. But she decided to actually, she prayed about it. She felt peace about it. And she went online. She wrote down what she wanted character-wise. All of these different things about her ideal husband. And I think she went on two dates online, and the third guy she met, the more she got to know him, the more he just ticked off all these things. He even had the little dog. And happy ending to the story, she did end up marrying the guy. And not only did he have everything she asked God for, he had more. He was a retired pilot, and her son is a pilot, and her son had never had a good relationship with his dad, and they're getting on great, you know, her new husband and her son. It's like a whole story of God's redemption, how God has brought redemption not just to her, but also to her family through this relationship. Best of all, they're living somewhere sunny, because she hates English weather. And other people as well. I did it. I wrote a list. This is another thing you can do if you're not into the creative. Write a list of 100 dreams. Life dreams, you know, wishes, things you want to do with your life. It's a great way of flowing into this envisioning phase. I did it. I actually went one step further. I wrote a list of 100 things I wanted my husband to be. I have to say that my husband-to-be fits 90, there's six he doesn't fit, 94 out of the 100 things he fits. And the 6 foot two thing, which is a, to be honest, it's a surface thing, isn't it? He's not 6 foot two, but we're praying for his legs to grow longer. But no, I think, sorry? All things are possible. Nothing's impossible with God for those who trust and believe. So, yeah, I'm just saying, you know, 96 out of 100 is pretty good. And I have to look at those other areas, because now I've got to know you better. I might have discovered they're there anyway. And also, as we grow into relationships and grow as people, things happen. Maybe we don't grow into 6 foot two. Maybe we do. But you know what I'm trying to say? Dream bigger and trust that God can bring you the best. So don't try, you know, what's the point of trying to push the boundaries? Well, should I date a Christian or a non-Christian or a this or a that? Just dream what you want and trust that God will bring it, because that is the God that we serve. Okay. I want to just finish off with something. We're talking about authentic, healthy single lives, okay? That's the topic for today. And this part, I think, is really important, especially as someone brought up on the first seminar how, you know, they felt like church was taking a bit of advantage of them as single people. And we get very busy, don't we, doing a lot of things that aren't necessarily resonant in our lives and that we don't enjoy. But what about the hidden commandment? Have you ever thought about what the hidden, you know, the Ten Commandments? What's the hidden one? Do you know what I'm going to say? We're told that we should love others, okay? And the way we conduct relationships, we love, we honor, we respect, we communicate those that we are in relationships with. Now, what does the Bible say? To what degree are we supposed to love others? Yes. So do you see the hidden commandment there? Love yourself. Yes. You can only love others to the extent that you're able to love yourself. We do a whole coaching thing on this, where if I was to say to you now, out of 10, just in your own hearts, how well do you feel loved by you? If you just close your eyes and just tune into that. Out of 10, how much do you love yourself right now in this moment? What number comes to mind out of 10? That's a clue as to where you're at on this journey. I did this a while ago and I was like a 4 out of 10. I felt, there's three areas we look at. How loved do you feel by God? How much do you love yourself? And how loved do you feel by others? And for me, my loved by others thing about 8-10 years ago was so low, I thought, my gosh, that's not good. So the Lord's been taking me on a journey, and I'm still on it, as to how to love myself So think about that, because when you're getting into a relationship, especially as Christians, I think this is an area that can be really neglected, and we get burnt out and we are serving and we're, you know, all about everybody else's needs. But what about your needs? Okay. Who is the best person to know your emotional, spiritual, and physical needs best? God? Okay. Like, would it be? Yeah, exactly. You. There is one person that knows what you need emotionally, spiritually, practically. No one else can understand your body, how much rest you need, emotionally what support you need, how much time you need around to be around friends, what kind of support you need, out of the five love languages, how best you are loved. No one else knows the answer to all of these things better than you yourself. Sorry? And God. Yeah, and God. Obviously, but God commanded us to love ourselves, right? So he wants you to learn to love yourself as well as him and as well as others. So it's just something that I think is really important as you're going into relationships, is to remember that. And it all fits into what we talked about yesterday about actually expressing your needs and, you know, open-hearted, having these authentic, open conversations with the people around you as to what your needs are. Can't communicate your needs if you're not aware and in touch with them yourself. So just a little something that I thought is all part of leading the authentic, healthy single life and being resonant in that phase. So I just want to finish off. For those of you that don't know, I don't know what's come up for you this morning. Been kind of an interactive session. But if you feel like you need a bit more help unpacking who you are and what your passions are, what your life purpose is, what your calling is, so that you can step more into that fully resonant life that we've heard. You know, several of you are already leading that, but there's always more with God. There is always so much more that we can explore. And if you want to have more time to unpack that, what we actually do as an organization is we run both online and live workshops. And we've got one, we call it What Next. And it's all about, you know, what's the next level for me to go into? And it helps you to unpack your purpose, your passion, your life purpose. It helps you to train you to hear from God directly into your own lives, to encounter him, and to actually figure out what the obstacles are. You know, what are those things that are stopping me from stepping into all that God has for me? And then to actually come out the back of it with a plan and a vision. Vision is so important. Without a vision, the people perish. So if you want a little bit of help to actually create that vision more time than we have this morning, get along to, we have an online program. We have this, it's so simple. You just need to be on a computer or some kind of internet-based place. And every Wednesday evening from the 27th of April, we're doing 8 Wednesdays in a row. It's an hour and a half online. We do an interactive classroom. We all chat. We all interact. And we take you through a journey of over 8 consecutive weeks to actually discover more about what's in you, that treasure, that vision, and to help you to come out the other side of it encouraged and full of hope and with a vision. So if you're interested in that, we do charge for it. It's 120 on the early bird, or 150 if you don't catch the early bird. And you can book on our website, destinycoachingministries.com. And the other thing to do is to actually travel and come to one of our live events, which are 2 days. We have 2 days of destiny coaching activation where we actually help you to walk through all the different areas of calling and purpose and finding out your passion and just finding out who you are and what you need and what God wants you to do in the world. So we do it. We do 2-day workshops. We've got one coming up in very short notice on the 15th, 16th of April. We always do them on a Friday and a Saturday, 2 full days. So you have to take a day off work, just 1 day, but then it doesn't interfere with the Sunday thing. So that's how we do them. So we've got a Friday and Saturday in Gosport, which is the south coast of England. And we've got a Friday and Saturday in Esher, which is southwest London. It's on the outskirts in Surrey on the 27th and 28th of May. So I encourage you, whatever you do, whatever journey you take, to just be more intentional about thinking what's right for you for the future. So other than that, if you want to join our mailing list, or if you want to have one of our free ebook, which is just about understanding your destiny, then just text us or email us on this number, and we can send you further information and the slides from this morning. I noticed some of you are taking pictures, and that's fine, but if you want the slides emailed to you, or if you want our free ebook, which is all about destiny activation, then just text us or email us and we'll email that to you. So I thought I'd just say a little prayer to close us off before lunch. So do you want to, and we've been saying stand up because I always think it's nice to stretch your legs. Do you want to stand up if you're able or if you want to? And let's just give God the glory for all he is. So, yeah. So thank you, God, that you work through our story to redeem, not just redeem all that's lost, Lord, but to take us into a future, Lord, that is so much more than we could ever have imagined. And Lord, we just receive that from you, Lord. We just say yes to accepting that that's who you are and that's what you have for us. And Lord, I just want to bless each and every person here on their journey, wherever they are at, Lord. And I just want to ask you to reveal to them what that extra bit, the more is that you have for them, Lord, in relationships, with that perfect ideal partner, Lord, and with that perfect ideal life. So we just release that blessing over you now. In Jesus' name, amen.